Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Yud Aleph. We're learning today Le'ila Nishmas Esther Berger, Esther Bas Meshulam Meir. All the Neshamas have an Aliyah from our learning. We begin on the very top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, on the very top line, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you designated a bird that was inside the cubby, inside the nest, and then on Yontif, you come and see that it's outside the nest, then we said it's Osir. Because you have to presume that the bird that was inside the nest had left, and a new bird came and stayed there. So as we had pointed out yesterday, let us suggest, let us say that this Mishnah is in support to what Rabbi Chanina said. What did Rabbi Chanina say? Then Rabbi Chanina, Rov Ukarov, when you have two principles, you have the principle of Rov, the majority of something is, let's say, Osir, but the Karov, the things near it, are, in fact, permissible. And you have these two competing principles. So normally, either one alone, if you have just Karov, so we would say you follow the Karov. And if you just have Rov, we say we follow the Rov. What happens if the two are competing against each other? Here, the Rov would tell you one thing, and Karov would tell you something else. So in this situation, Rabbi Chanina said, Holoch achar ha-rov. We follow the principle of Rov that trumps the principle of Karov. So it seems that our Mishnah seems to indicate this. Our Mishnah is talking about where you have a bird that is Karov to where it was designated, but the majority of the birds are, in fact, not going to be kosher. So one could have said, well, it's more likely that this Karov bird is the one that was there, and therefore it's permissible. Or we say, no, it came from the majority that aren't permissible, and therefore we should follow the principle of Rov. And that's what Rabbi Chanina said, Rov v'Karov, holech achar Rov. Abai disagrees. I'm Abai, no. Here we're talking about Bedaf. You can't bring us a raya two or four, Rabbi Chanina, but you can't bring us raya to what Rabbi Chanina says. Because we're dealing here with a daf, as Rashi points out, that there was a platform, derech kol shavochem lios ma'at min daf ha'aliyah bolet chutz l'mechitza shel kol kan v'kan. So you had a platform that was sticking out, and birds would come from nearby and be on this platform. So this is a case where you have both the Karov and the Rov are the same. And therefore, in this situation, you can't bring us a riot to Rabbi Chanina. Again, it's not a riot against him, but you can't bring us a riot that when the principle of Rov competes with Karov, we would follow Rov. Here, you have both Rov and Karov, Rashi says. Points out, the Ikatarte, here you have both principles, so therefore that's why it is Osir. That's Abaye's teretz. Rav has a different teretz. Rav says, Rav Amar, Bishnei Kanin, Zu Lamala Mizu Askin. We're dealing over here with two cubbies, with two of these nests, one on top of the other. So they're in a wall, and you have one, and then above it you have another one. The Lomiboya. And you don't even have to tell me the first in, because the Chiddush is in the second in. So what's the first in? Zimein Betachtona. You don't have to tell me that if you were Mizamin, you designated the lower level Khan with the bird in it. And the low Zimein Bayona, and you specifically only designated the low one and not the one above it. And now, when you come on Yontif, Umatza B'tachtona, there's only one that you find on the daf of the lower cubby, not inside the cubby, because if it was inside the cubby, that would be the one that you designate. But it's on the daf, it's on the outside part, the low Matzah B'yona. And there is no bird in the upper cubby, neither in the cubby or in the daf on it. So here you now have designated a bird originally inside the lower cubby, and there's no bird there now, but there's a bird on the outer part of it. And you had not designated the bird on the top, and it's not there at all. So in this situation, Dasirin, certainly it's also because you have to presume, Darinan, Hanach Ozuli Alma, the birds that you designated in the lower cubby are gone, they left. The Hanach Ishtaruve Ishtarvuv, the Nochus. It's easy for the birds on the upper level to have hopped down to the lower level. Again, we're talking here, as we see in the Gemara, about birds that don't fly. They're young birds, they're gozlos, and they don't fly yet, so they just hop, basically. And therefore, it's very likely that the birds on the top level hop down to the lower level. That's easy to be done, and therefore you have to be worried about that. Ella, not only is that, that's obvious, but even Ella Filu Zimin Balyona, you designated the bird on the top level, inside the cubby, and there was a bird in the bottom level which you did not designate, below Zimin B'tachtona. And now on Yontif Yikamuba, Motza Belyona, you find that the bird is on the outer part of the Elyona, not inside like you had designated it, and there is no bird on the bottom, below Motza B'tachtona. So here too, Hanach Nami Asiri, we say it's also Asir. Why? Because we say here, Darinan, Hanach Azuliyama, the bird that you designated on the top left, it's gone. Item one on the bottom, it doesn't get so easily up to the top. Yes, it was able to do so. It like dragged itself up. It adhered to the wall and it pulled itself up, and that's why it left the bottom, and now it's on the top. But that bird on the bottom was, in fact, not designated, and therefore, in this situation, you have to be concerned that the bottom bird did get up to the top, and therefore it's usher. So in both situations, it would be us according to Rabba. The first one wasn't necessary to tell us that was obvious. And even the second case, you might have thought it's good. No, that one's also Usr. But therefore, it's nothing to do with Rov and Karov. That's the second teretz to why this is not Lema Messiah to Rabbi Chanina. Then we quote the Mishnah, the main Sham Ella, Hain, Harel Mutarin. If there are no other birds around, so then it is perfectly acceptable to say that's the bird that you designated, even if it was in the exact same place that you had originally designated it. So it says, what are we talking about? Hechidami. Ilema bimifurachin. If you're talking about birds that can fly, so then why do we say that it's the same bird? Ikalamemar, it's easy to say, Hanach Ozlu, the original bird that you designated flew away, Liamot, someplace else to the world, Vaniakrininu, and other birds flew in. So that wouldn't be a riot that it's, if it's not in the same place, that it's automatically the same bird. There are no other birds around them, but they could have flown in. Ella, we're talking about the young birds, like I said before, bimidadin. They're only capable of just jumping a little bit. They can't really fly. So Gemara says, wait a second, what's the chiddush here? Idika kan beso chamishim amma. If there's another bird's nest within 50 amma, so then we have to be concerned that adduye adadu, that this original bird that you designated jumped away, and another bird jumped to this place because it's within 50 ammas, they still jump. If there's no other nests within 50 amma, and that's therefore the maximum limit where we can expect them to jump, vidalekul kan beso chamishim amma, there's no other kan within 50 amma, so them shita that this is the same bird. There's no other bird around. The mutarim, and therefore it'd be permissible. Because the Amar Rokva Barchama, the limit, so to say, of a jumping bird, the young birds that don't fly, is kol ha-medada, if it's only jumping, ein medada yosu mi-chamishim amma. It doesn't go more than 50 amma. So what's the chiddush then in this situation? So it says, no, there's a chiddush here. Li'olam di'ika kan b'so chamishim amma. We are talking about where there's another kan within 50 amma. However, it's not in direct visual eyesight. It's around the bend. It's around the corner. You can see diagrams in Rashi if you can't understand what that means. That you have one kan on the top over here and one kan towards the left in the picture in Rashi, but they're not visible one to the other. They're within 50 amma, but they're not visible one to the other. It's around the bend in a wall. The kagon, the kaima b'keren zavis, that's what we're talking about. It's around the corner. So the Gemara says, Mal de Temo, others have the Girsa, my, what are you going to suggest over here? Adaduye adadu, that it was able to jump because it's within 50 yama? No. Kamashulon, the Chiddush over here of our Mishnah is Kol Hecha de Medado, where the animal will, the bird will jump. That's only if it's able to see its original nest. V'hoder chozi lekane, then medad. It will jump if it can still see its home base. If it sees the home, the nest where it is, so then it will jump up to 50 yama away. But even though it's within 50 yama, if it's going to have to turn a corner and won't be able to see the home base, low medada, it won't jump. So therefore, the chiddush of Mishnah is, even though the other nest was within 50 yama, but it wasn't within visual distance, so in that case, if you find birds that you had designated, not in the original place that you designated them, but nearby, and there are no other birds around within 50 yama, a visualization, so then you can say those are the same birds, and they are considered muchan, and you can shech them on Yom Tov. Now let's begin the next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Beshami Yomrim ain't notlin es holi, lekatsev alav basur. We discussed this in great detail yesterday. This would be good chazara. Beshami's opinion is that this kli, known as an ali, it is a board, a thick board, Rashi had said yesterday, that's used for chopping, and it's normally used for grinding or chopping up things that are forbidden to chop and grind on yontif, such as grain. But here, the person is using this kli. Rashi explains this as a kli shemalach to liyasur. It's normally used for something that's forbidden. And Beis Shammai's opinion is, even though you're using it now, Letzorach Gufo Makomo, which Beis Hillel says is permissible, but Beis Shammai holds that a Kli Shemalach Delissa can't be used even Letzorach Gufo Makomo, and therefore it's Muktza, and therefore a Notlin as Sa'ali, Lekatsiv Lo Basar. Tosa's a different understanding. Tosa's understanding it's Muktza Machmas Chisaron Kis, and therefore it can't be used. In any event, we'll go simple like Rashi, that it's a Kli Shemalach Delissa, and therefore, Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to use this Eli, which is normally used for an Isser, even though you now want to use it, Lekatsi v'lebosser, to cut up meat, chop up meat, which is permitted on Yontif. Well, Beis Shammai here, and Beis Shammai allows this because it's a Kli Shemalachto L'Isser, and you're using Letzorach Gufo, and therefore you can use it. Furthermore, we had this yesterday as well, Beis Shammai Yomim Einos, the Nessa or Lufnei Adorsen, when you shecht an animal and you want to go and tan the hide, you're not allowed to obviously tan the hide on Yontif, and certainly not on Shabbos. So here, you want to shecht on Yontif, but what's going to happen to the hide? It may cause people not to go and shecht if they're going to lose the value of the hide. So the opinion of the Beis Shammai is, nevertheless, you're not letting go and put that hide in front of people to step on, because stepping on it is part of the tanning process, and therefore this would look like you're tanning on Yontif, and even though it could lead to a Menias Simchas Yontif, by now shechting, Beis Shammai says, sorry, you cannot do that. It is Muktzah. Likewise, Lo Yag Bienu, Elim Ken Yesh Imo, Now, some delete the word kizayis. Yerushalmi doesn't have the word kizayis, but it means if it doesn't have a certain amount of basar, a significant amount of basar on it, so therefore it would be muktzah. If it has meat on it, so you're moving the hide because of the meat, it's not muktzah. So the Yerushalmi says, unless it has a significant amount of basar on it, whether it's a kizayis or some smaller amount, it is only allowed to be moved if it has that meat on it. And again, Beis Hillel disagrees with Beis Hillel Matirin. Gemara starts off and says, Tana, we learned that this machlokis is only in regards to the Eli. The Brisa says, Vishavin, however, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree, Shem Kotzav Alav Basar, Sha'asu L'Tiltulo, that once you have used this Eli, so then you no longer can go move it after you're done with it, because even according to Beis Hillel, who said you could go and chop the meat on it, once you're done, so then you no longer need it, L'Tzorech Gufo, you're not using it, and therefore you're not allowed to move it because it's Muksa, Machmas, the fact that it's a klishim alachtu l'isser, or according to Tosos, because it's muksa machmas iskaron kis, a very expensive type of an item, you wouldn't use it for something else. Now, Omer Abaye, Abaye further qualifies as it says machlokis be'ali. The machlokis is only on the ali, as our Mishnah stated, which we'll ask in a moment. Well, that's what our Mishnah stated. What are you telling us, Abaye? Abaye says the machlokis is only in regards to an ali. Aval betavra garmi, but with a board that is specifically made for choppy meat. As Rashi says, hamiyuchades lechkotzi v'le abasar, that it's specifically used to chop meat. So then, divri akol, that certainly, even the Shammai would say, is permissible to be used on yontiv. Divri akol mutter. So the Gemara says the obvious statement, pshita, elit, non, or Mishnah said an elit. Why is Abaye telling us that the machlokis is in regards to an elit? That's what the Mishnah said. And that this tavra garmi is permissible. Of course it is. The Gemara says, no, there's a chiddush that Abaye is telling us. Ma'u detema, I might have thought that in fact, to Adin, that Beis Shammai disagrees and says, dafilu tavra de garmi is also not allowed. And Rashi explains, what's the havamina? After all, it's supposed to be used for this. So Rashi says, Huadin afilu tavrid gami asiri beshamai. Why? Because dilma may be basa de totala mamlech velo tovar. He says, maybe you're picking it up and then you change your mind. You're not going to chop the meat. Vish takach de torach bichti. And then you'll have picked it up for naught. So therefore, you might have thought that this machlokis is also on a tavra de garmi. And therefore, Abaye comes to teach us, ma'u de tema huadin dafilu tavra de garmi is nami yosar according to Beis Shammai. Ay, then why didn't it tell us that? That would be a big chiddush. No, Abaye diktoni ali is to teach us, lodiacha kochen Beis Hillel, that a matirit, dafilu dovish avlato le'isr, nami sharu. So the koch de tera adif, he had a choice of saying the bigger chiddush for Beis Shammai that the tavra garmi is osar. And alternatively, you could take the bigger chiddush that the Ali is mut according to Beis Hillel. So you're going to pick the way to say it is the chiddush according to the Koach De'Atera, which would be Beis Hillel's opinion. But you might therefore have thought that the Tavra De'Ami is in fact also according to Beis Shammai, Kamash Balon. Abaye's chiddush is that no, even Beis Shammai agrees that the Tavra De'Ami, we don't make a gzeira that maybe you'll come to pick it up and then not use it. We don't go that far, even according to Beis Shammai. That's the first version of this discussion. Ika di Amre, others have a second version of the discussion. Amr Abaye said, Lo nitzucho elo afilu tavra gami. Chariti. The chiddush over here is for a brand new tavra gami that has never been used beforehand. So that's what he's telling us is permissible. Mal detem, because I might have thought, Mimlach velo tovar Allah. Maybe the person says, well, this is so new and beautiful and good. I'm going to save it for some other occasion and therefore not use it. And he'll have picked it up and not used it. That's what you might have thought, Kamash Vallan, that no, the Tavrit Garmi, even if it's brand new, is good. And therefore, the Chiddush is that Beis Shammai is not Choshesh over here that you may come to change your mind. So more questions that. Really? We're not concerned that Beis Shammai says that you may come to change your opinion and not use it, and then you're metal to muksa. But I'll show you that, in fact, Beis Shammai does concern themselves with imluche, that it may come to change your mind. But Tanya, because we learned in the following Tosefta. Now, the girsa that we have in the Tosefta is the way we have it in our Gemara. Beis Shammai yomrim, ein molichin tabach visakin eitzel behema. That on Yontif, when you're allowed to shecht, nevertheless, you don't go and bring the tabach, the butcher. Now, the Beis Yosef brings down that this is really an exaggeration, that the tabach can go. There's no problem the tabach going. But since he's coming with the sakin, that's why it says tabach v'sakin. The critical thing is, you're not allowed to go and move the sakin to the behema, according to the girsa that we have, on Yontif, because you may come to be mamlich. You may come to change your mind, and then you'll have carried the sakin for no purpose. And Beis Shammai says, according to the girsa that we have, ein molichin, you're not allowed to do this. Now, on the side, it brings down from the Tosefta that the girsa was that this situation, Beis Shammai does allow molichin, tabach, meaning the sakin, is allowed to be brought to the behema. And it's the next part that is the low that we're really focusing on. But again, at the end of the Masoros HaShas, he brings down that might be a mistake, and let's just keep the gear so that we have. So Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to go bring the knife to the animal, or likewise, v'lo behema, etzel tabach v'sakin. You can't bring the animal to the butcher, the shaychet, and to where the knife is, because you may come to be mamlich, you may come to change your mind. And therefore, you'll have carried it, brought it there. It's moktsa if you don't use it, and therefore, you're not allowed to do that. Beis Hillel is not concerned. Beis Hillel omrim, molichin ze itzel ze. We don't concern ourselves, you'll change your mind. Right now, your intention is to go shech the animal. If you change your mind, change your mind. No problem. You did this beheter. So you clearly see that Beis Shammai is concerned about liam luche. So how can you tell us here with the Tavra Garmi that they're not concerned? Furthermore, we'll add to the question. Beis Shammai omrim, ein molichin tavlin umadoch etzel meducha. Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to go bring the spices and the thing to chop them to the chopping bowl. The maduch is the chopper, and the meducha is the bowl that you're chopping it in, and the tavlin are the spices. So Beis Shammai says, we're not going to let you bring them there because you may come to change your mind. And likewise, the other way around. Below meducha, don't bring the chopping bowl, etzel tavlin umadoch, because you may come to change your mind, and you'll have carried it there, brought it there for naught, and it's muktzah if it has no purpose. And again, Beis Hillel says, we're not concerned about that. Beis Hillel omrin, molichin zeh etzozeh, we don't concern ourselves. So clearly, in these two cases, Beis Shammai says, we are concerned about amluche. So how come, by the Tavra Garmi, Abaye said that Beis Shammai is not concerned about imluche? So Gemara says, because the cases aren't comparable. So Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, are you trying to compare the two cases that we just brought down, the Tabach Sakin to the Behema and vice versa, and the Tavlin Maduch to the Maducha and vice versa? There's no comparison, because Bishlama Behema Asli Amluche. In regards to the Behema, guess what? People change their minds. I decided I don't want to shech this animal. The Omar Nishbach Hai Behema Kechusha. Umaisinam Behema Achrite. Dishmein Amina. You may come to take this animal, you bring the animal to the butcher, and the butcher says, well, you know, I thought you would bring me a big shmeina animal. This is a kuchusha. I need a shmeina animal because I'm shechti for 20 people, and this will only feed 10 people. So therefore, okay, we'll bring another animal. And therefore, you brought this animal for naught. So therefore, that's why Beis Shammai is concerned about imluche. Likewise, with the spices and chopping them up. Kideira, in that regard, nami, osilim luche. Beis Shammai says there's a chance the person will change his mind. Now, this is too much work to chop it up. I guess we won't have something that needs spices. We'll have a different dish that's okay, bland. Let's get rid of this kideira, the boy tablin, which requires spices, and I don't feel like chopping. And we'll eat something else that doesn't require spices. So in those two cases, with the shchita of the behema, yes or no. With the chopping of the spices, yes or no. A person may change his mind. But in our case, with the Tavra Garmi, the meat's already been shechted. Mimlach, v'lo tavar. What are you going to say? He's going to change his mind and not chop the meat? The meat's already been shechted. Kiven de shochto l'tvira kaima. It has to be chopped up or it's going to go spoil in the hot Mediterranean sun. And they didn't have refrigeration. So therefore, once the animal shechted, you definitely have to cut up the meat. You have to chop it up. So therefore, there's zero chance that you'll be mamlich. You'll change your mind, and therefore, le'amluche, in the case of the Tavra Garmi, is not a concern, even according to Beis Shammai, who normally is concerned. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Beis Shammai omrim einos nisar. Beis Shammai said that we don't put out the hide to be stepped on, because it is muktzah, and you're not allowed to do that. Tana, we learned the following braisa. However, Rishavim, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree, shemolchin olav basar litzli, that you could, in fact, stand on this hide and go salt roasted meat. You have to roast the meat. You have to salt it before you roast it. A smaller amount than if you're cooking it, but you're going to roast the meat so you can salt it over the hide. And if some of the salt falls down onto the hide, as it obviously will, no problem. That's what the braisa says. Amar Abaye, Abaye qualifies this and says, Lo shanu ella litzli. That's when you're roasting it. If you're putting on the amount of salt that's used for roasting, avu l'kdeira lo. But if you're adding the amount of salt, which is a much higher amount of salt that you have to add when you're cooking something, then that amount of salt you can't do over the hide. So it says, pshita, litzlitnan. The braisa said that you're only allowed to do this if you're roasting, salting it, not if you're cooking, salting it. So the Gemara says, so the chiddush is over here. Da'afilu litzli, even though you're roasting it, but you're going to put on more salt than is normally necessary. You're going to put on the salt, even though you're going to roast it, but you're putting on more salt than you normally would. You're putting on ke'en kedera. You're putting on the amount of salt that you normally put on when you're cooking it. So even though you're roasting it, so you could argue, I'm salting it, let's sleep, but since you're putting on ke'en kedera, the amount of salt that you'd put on to go and cook it, nevertheless, also, that's the chiddush over here. Talking about we learn the following brisa: Ein molchines achalovim. You're not allowed to go salt the prohibited fats, the chaylev from a behema. Ein mahavchin bohen, and you're not allowed to move them because they're muktza according to the Tanna Kamma. Chaylev's not allowed to be eaten; it serves no purpose. So normally you would go and salt it and preserve it to give it to your animals or something like that, or you're going to go and move it around so it doesn't spoil. Nevertheless, even though it's going to spoil if you don't do this on Yontif, you're not allowed to do this. That's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. However, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Amru, they said a kula in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, he said that you would be allowed to be shotchon beruach agavi yesedos, that you could put it up on some sort of pegs so it will be in the wind and it won't spoil. Amr Rav Masna, Rav Masna says, we paskin halachic Rabbi Yeshua. So the first version of Rav Masna says, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Ika di Amre, there's a second version, however, of what Rav Masna said, and according to the second version, Amr Rav Masna ain halachic Rabbi Yeshua, the halach is not like Rabbi Yeshua. So now let's understand this. Bishlam of the first version, Lamandi Omar Halachok Rabbi Yeshua, the first version said that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Oh, I know why Rabbi Masna had to say that. It's Drich. He had to tell us that because normally the rule is, I would have said Yochav Rabbim, Rabbi Yeshua against the Tanna Kamma, that's the Chachamim, that's the Rabbim, the Halach is like the Rabbim. So therefore, Rabbi Masna is coming along and giving us a big Chiddush. Kamashulah, Halachok Yochid. Oh, that's why he tells us that this is an exception to the rule and the Halach is like Rabbi Yeshua. Very good, clear, understood. That's why Rabbi Masna's first version, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, was necessary. But the second version, Elamand Yomah, ain't halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua. Why did he have to tell us that? Pshita, that's always the rule. We don't have to tell us that the halacha is like the Rabbim against the Yochid. And this is a case of Yochid Rabbim, halacha Rabbim. So what's the chiddush of Rabbi Masna telling us that we do not paskin like Rabbi Yeshua? The second version is problematic. Where says it's not. Baal detema, because you know what I might have said? Taka, Rabbi Yeshua is right. Mistaver taimi the Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is taka, correct in saying we should be allowed to go put it up on posts and let the wind blow on it so it won't spoil. Because if you don't allow this, the E, lo sharis lay, if you don't allow a person to do this, he's going to say, well, I'm losing $50 here on these fats. I can't give them to my Gaisha friends. I can't give them to my animals. They're going to spoil. And therefore, I'm not going to go shecht. Mimana velo shochet. And it's going to lead to him not shechting on Yontif. He'll have Cheerios instead of having meat. And that's a lack of Simchas Yontif. Therefore, the Chiddush is, kamash v'lan, that even though Rabbi Yeshua has taka, very good reason to suggest that we should allow it, the din is like the Chachamim that say, no, that's not a good enough reason, and we still paskin like the Chachamim that it's not allowed. Ah, that is the Chiddush of the second version of Rav Masna saying that Halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua because you might have thought it should be because he gave us a good reason. Nevertheless, we paskin like the majority of Chachamim that disagree with that good reason. Then the Gemara says, Umayishna me'or l'vnei ador son. Why did the Chachamim, Beis Hillel, allow you to go and put the hide out in front of the people stepping on it? But over here, the Chachamim, presumably that's Beis Hillel as well, the Tanna Kamma of Rabbi Yeshua, they didn't allow you to spread out the fats. It seems to be the same reasoning in each situation. The person may mimanei avelo shachet, if you cause him a financial loss, he'll say, then I'm not going to go shecht. So in regards to the hide, Beis Hillel said, we allow you to shecht. But in regards to the fats, the Tanna Kamma of Rabbi Yeshua, the Chachamim, Mistama, Beis Hillel, say that you can't spread out the fats, the chaylev, and you lose it. How come we're not concerned about the loss of the fats, but we are concerned about the loss of the hides? So that's the question. Maishno me'or l'vnei adarson, it's allowed, but the fats aren't allowed. So we turn to Yudala from the base, and the Gemara says, hosom l'muchach milsa, because by the hide, nobody's going to say, oh, he's tanning, and you're allowed to tan. They're going to say, you know what? Mishum dechoze l'mizga alei. You know what? You technically are allowed to sit on the hide. The hide is not muktzah. I can use the hide as a mat, as a seat, as a cushion, which, as we pointed out, they used to sit on the floor, so they didn't want to sit on the dirt floor, so they would put something underneath them. So this was very common. So here's a hide. It's going to stop you from getting dirty. It's going to be more comfortable. And therefore, people are going to say he's not stepping on it to tan it. He's sitting on it in order not to sit on the dirt floor. And nobody's going to mistakenly say, oh, obviously you're allowed to tan a hide on Yontif, so therefore I could just pour salt right on it and tan it directly. But in the case of the fats, oh, awesome. Man, you know what people are going to say? My time, Asher Leila Rabbanon, why did the rabbis allow us to go and spread out the fats over here? It must be Kihecha de lo Lisrach. It's solely for the purpose that they shouldn't spoil. Oh, once we're allowed to do that, that they shouldn't spoil. Mali lemishtachinu. What does it make if I spread it out? Or mali lemimilchinu. Or if I just go directly salt it. The rabbi said it's okay. And therefore, it could lead to a terrible takola. Finally, Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Yehuda Amar Shmuel tells us that if a person wants to prevent financial loss, so technically on Yontif, all you'll have to do is salt food that you need for eating. But you're not allowed to salt food that you don't need for eating. So Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, this is the following halachic loophole that you can take advantage of. Molech odom kama chatichos basav vazachas. Go salt 10 pieces of meat at the same time, even though, afopi, she'en otzarech elu chatichachas, even though you're only eating one. Because you can say, oh, this is the piece that I'll eat. No, that's the piece that I'll eat. And therefore, as long as you're salting it all at one time, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, no problem to salt all 10 pieces, and then afterwards decide which one you want to eat, and know the others are salted. Perfectly good. And in fact, Rav Ada bar Ava even did further. Marim, he employed this legal loophole, umolach gar morgama. He would salt a piece and then say, nah, I don't want this piece, not the right piece. He would salt another piece and say, nah, I don't want this piece, not the right piece. And this way he would be allowed, halachically, through this legal loophole, of salting more than one piece. Now this was more than what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, because there, as Rashi points out, the chad tircha lekulu, they did it bevas achas, and it's one tircha. As opposed to Rav Ada bar Ava, who did this extension of the legal loophole, and he would employ this to do each piece separately. Now we go to the next Mishnah. We also had this yesterday, Shir. Bishami Yomrim, Ein Misalkin Esatresin Biyontif. Bishami says that you're not allowed to go, and as we learned yesterday, and we'll see today in the Gemara, this is talking about the shutters that were on the storekeeper's shops. And they would use them not only as a shutter, but they would also use it as a table to display the wares and to sell their merchandise. So Bishami says you're not allowed to go take this off on Yontif. Again, you're not allowed to keep your store open on Yontif, but there are halachic permission under certain situations that applied really more in their days than nowadays, but it could even apply nowadays if somebody's desperate for food and doesn't have any food. They had a fire in his house. There's no food. So he could technically go to his neighbor who owns a store and say, listen, let me go into your store and buy stuff and I'll pay you for it after Yontif. So you're allowed to technically open your store in that situation. So in any event, in a situation where you could halachically open up your store on Yontif, Beishami says you're not allowed to take off the treason and lay them out. And certainly you can't return them. Well, Basil Matir and Aflahsir, and Basil says, not only can you take them off, but even after you're done, you might have thought you can't put them back, but even allowed to put them back. Because if you don't let them put them back, as we'll learn in the Gemara, you won't take them off in the first place. So Gemara asks us first, what are we talking about over here? My treason, what type of shutters are we talking about? So Ula tells us, Ama Ula, Trisei Chanuyos, as I've already explained, this is where I got it from. Ula tells us it's talking about the storekeeper's shop shutters. And these shutters are needed in order to open up the stores and to sell their stuff. The Amar Ula, Ula further adds, now he's going to say three things here, and the Gemara is ultimately going to say each one of them a Mishnah. Why is an Amar Ula telling us things that are beferish in a Mishnah? So Ula tells us, Shosh Adar Mitiru Sofim Mishum Tchilasan, three things that the rabbis permitted, which otherwise would have been Usser, but the rabbis didn't institute rabbinical decrees in these three situations, because if we don't allow them to do them, they won't do it at all. So Hiter Sofon, to allow you to do something at the end, Mishum Tchilasan, because you won't do it in the beginning if we don't permit you to do so. And what are these three things? So you'll see what I'm talking about. Be'elu Hain, or Lufnei Adarsin. We allow you to go and put the hide out in front of people to step on, because if you don't do that, then people aren't going to shecht. So if they won't shecht, that's the Tchilasan. So therefore, Hitiru Sofan, they allowed you to put the hide out. That's the Sofan. Similarly, Utrisa Chanuyos, our case over here in the Mishnah, with the treason. If you don't let the storekeepers take off their treason, so they're not going to want to open up, and they're not going to, if you don't let them close it, they're certainly not going to want to open up, and therefore, Hitir Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. We'll let you put him back, because otherwise he won't open up. And the third thing is something that we haven't learned here, but we've learned elsewhere, the Chazaris Ritiya B'Mikdash. If a Kohen has a bandage on a wound, so he's not allowed to have any chatzitza in between his body and the avoda, and the clothing and the avoda, so therefore, we allow him to take off the bandage, but if we don't let him put him back, you're not supposed to put a bandage on Shabbos. Again, talking about non-life-threatening injuries. So this would be an issur d'rabbanan of shchichas gzeirah, shchichas samanim, that you may come to go make medications, which would be grinding, which would be an issur d'araisa. So the rabbi said, no bandages, no even rabbinical types of medicinal work, and therefore you wouldn't have been allowed to go and be machzir the ritiyah on Shabbos, but in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim won't do the work, so therefore, he tira and sofa mishum tchilas, and they let him put the bandage back on, and this way they would do the avoda, because they wouldn't mind taking it off. Those are the three cases that Ula tells us. Rochva, who's an Amora, tells us another case, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this sounds like it's in the name of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, but it's not. And Rashi points out that this was probably his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora. Others suggest maybe that this is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, but that's not true. Rashi says, in any event, he called him Rabbi Yehuda, even though it was Rabbi Yehuda, because he was his Rebbe. So he referred to him the title Rabbi Yehuda, my Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda. In any event, Rochva said this over, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Af Haposea Chaviso, Umaslu Bisoso, Agav HaRegel, V'alibe, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Yigbar, is allowed to do this. Now, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about Tuma and Tara concerns. The people that are Machmir on Tuma and Tara, the Chaverim, the Chachomim, the Prushim, so they were very much in tune. We are not today because we don't really have Tuma and Tara except for a husband and a wife, and that's not a full details of Tuma and Tara. That's just as a woman mutaris to a husband now. But otherwise, we don't concern ourselves, unfortunately, with dinam of Tuma and Tara. We're all Tomei Tumas Meis, and therefore a lot of these dinam just don't, unfortunately, apply. B'mehir Yemenu, the Mashiach comes, we have the Paradum again, then all these dinam will become very familiar to us. It says in the days of Chizkiyo HaMelech that even a 5 or 6 year old child knew all these dinam of Tuma and Tara, and today, even Tamid often don't know these dinim because they're just not practical. We don't have experience with them. In any event, Tumah Tara was a major factor in those days. Now, when the Yom Tovim came, we didn't want to have two Bati Migdash. We don't have a Beis Migdash for the Chachamim and a Beis Migdash for the Amoratzim. So therefore, everybody was together in the same place, but they're going to be touching all sorts of foods and wares, and it's going to be a real problem because the Amoratzim, their touch normally makes things tummy because they're not careful. So the rest of the year, be very careful not to let your food be touched by an Amaretz, because otherwise it's going to be tamei. Now, during the Regalim, people are selling, and they're going to be selling to all people, not only to Prushim, not only to Tamidei Chachamim, not only to people that are careful about Tumah Tara, they're going to sell to Amaretzim. So the rabbi said, our rabbinical decree that the touch of an Amaretz doesn't apply during Yontif. So according to this din, that's what Rav was saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, who said in the name of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, that this was a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda the Tana and the Chachamim, that once you've opened something up, yigmor v'im karen l'chaverim, even after the yontif, you can sell it to chaverim, ul'chol adam, or to any person, v'yizor shel yiga amoritz after yontif. But even though they touch it during yontif, it is perfectly fine. But you can't let the amoritz touch it after yontif. But even though he touched it during Yontif, you can still sell it to Talmidei Chachamim after Yontif. Certainly during Yontif, but even after Yontif. And the Chachamim disagree. They say, lo yigmar, you can't continue to sell it to the Talmidei Chachamim after Yontif. During Yontif, they were allowed to buy it because of Shalom Bayis, so to say, and we don't want people to have two Bati Mikdash, the one for the people that are Nizar and Tumah Tara, and the one that aren't. So during Yontif, the rabbis said, we don't make such a restriction. But after Yontif, it somehow retroactively becomes Tomei. And any of the original produce that's still around is now Tomei, even though it was Tar during Yontif. And certainly any new produce that you purchase would have the status of being Tomei. So Rochva said in the name of Rav Yehuda, his Rebbe, in the name of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, that one would be allowed to, if they opened up a Chavis, be allowed to continue selling it. Or if you have a dough and you're allowed to continue selling it. If it was allowed during the regal, you continue it after the regal. Otherwise, people aren't going to want to open up a new dough or open up a new barrel of wine. Okay, so now the Gemara questions, why do we need Ula to tell us these three things? After all, they're all Mishnayis. So Gemara says, Or lifnei adarson tanina, that's a Mishnah. Why is Ula telling us this din? And Amora never tells us a din that's in a Mishnah. By definition, all the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayis. They didn't always know the Brises. I mentioned many times. That's why it says sometimes Tanya Namiyachi. There's a Brisa in support of what this Amora said, because he didn't necessarily know the Brisa. But you'll never find Tanan Namiyachi. A Mishnah supports this Amora because they knew all the Mishnayis. So in any event, Gemara questions the first statement of Ula, again, Or Lifnei Hadarsan Tanina. We learned it in the Mishnah. Why did you tell it to us? So there's a chiddush in each one of these situations that Ula taught us, and we'll go through each one. Here's the first one. Ma'udutema, I might have thought, if I didn't have Ula telling me this, that the Mishnah was only dealing with Tamayu de Beis Hillel, the reasoning behind Beis Hillel, allowing you to go and put the or the hideout in front of the people stepping on it, is because Mishum Dechose Lemizka Alayu, because you're going to sit on it. And therefore, people are going to say, hey, he's not really doing any tanning, and that's why it's permissible. And therefore, I might say, since it's so permissible, afilu me'erev yontif nami, we're going to allow you, even if you shechted it on erev yontif, but didn't spread it out, to go and spread it out on yontif, because it's allowed. So the Chiddush of Ula is no. The only reason they allowed it was if you shechted on Yontif. Kamash Balon, Ula is telling us, he tiru sofa mishum tchilasim. The only reason it's permitted is because you shechted it on Yontif, and if we didn't allow you to spread it out, you won't shecht on Yontif. But that's only Yontif, the Yontif in. Because you shechted it on Yontif, that's why you need to be matir sofa mishum tchilasim. But the Erev Yontif, if you shechted it on Erev Yontif, so then guess what? Go and spread it out then. And if we don't let you do it on Yontif, it's not going to stop you from shechting on Erev Yontif, because Erev Yontif, you can always spread it out. Therefore, lo, in that situation, when you shechted it on Erev Yontif, you're not allowed to spread it out on Yontif. It's only when you shechted it on Yontif, hitiru sofa, mishum tchilasan, only applies when you shechted on Yontif. That's the Chiddush of Ula above and beyond the Mishnah. Similarly, the next statement that Ula made, we're going to question that. You told us that you're allowed to go and take down the Trisei Chanuyos because of Simchas Yontif. If we don't let you do that, you're not going to have Simchas Yontif. So Gemara says, Nami Tanina, that was a Mishnah as well. It says, Ubeis Hillel, Matir Naf Lahachzir. In our Mishnah, it said that not only can you take it down, Beis Hillel even allows you to go and return it. So what's Ula telling us? So again, the Chiddush in Ula. Ma'u Detema, Ula's Chiddush is that you might have thought without Ula coming along and telling us that the Tamayu de Beis Hillel, Mishum de Ein Binyan Bekalim, that the only reason Beis Hillel allows you to do this is because they don't hold Binyan and Steer Bekalim. Ein Binyan Bekalim, Vein Steer Bekalim. And that's why you're allowed to do this. And therefore, this applies across the board. It applies to storekeepers' shops as well as to a private house, or some suggest a shop inside a house. You would have thought, just reading the Mishnah, that there is no prohibition because ein binyan istir bekalim. And therefore, even if it's not for Simchas Yontif for the general public by having a storekeeper do this, but even a private person could do this. Ula says, no, that's not. Kamash Balon, he threw himself from Mishum Trilas, and it's only over here where the public won't have Simchas Yontif that we allow you to go take down the marketplace shutters, but only the marketplace shutters, the Bechanuyos in the bottom low, but not private houses. And therefore, that's the Chiddush of Ula, which we wouldn't have known if we just had the Mishnah. And the third and final halacha that Ula taught us, that you're allowed to go and put back on a bandage if it was taken off so the Kohen could do the Avodah, you can put it back on, because otherwise, if you don't let him take it off and put it back on, he won't do the Avodah. So, Nami Tanina. That was also Beferish Mishnah. So this is a Mishnah in Erevin. So it says over there, Mahzirin Ritiya B'mikdash, Avodah B'medina. Only in the Beis HaMikdash, for the benefit of doing the Avodah, was this allowed, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Medina is referenced here outside the Beis HaMikdash. So again, it's a Beferish Mishnah in Erevin. Why is Ula and Amora telling us a Beferish Mishnah? So Gemara says, no, there's a Chiddush over here for Ula as well. Ma'al de Tema, if it wasn't for Ula, you know what I would have said? That the reasoning is, Taima, Mishum de Ein Shvus B'mikdash. I would have said that's because rabbinical prohibitions in general don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash, because Kohanim is reason him, there are many Kohanim around, and if somebody were to forget that it's Yom Tov for Shabbos, the other Kohanim would quickly jump on and say, hey, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to do that. So therefore, the rabbis never instituted, it's not 100%, there are some Shvus B'mikdash, but in general, we have this principle of Ein Shvus B'mikdash. So therefore, I might have said that Afilu Kohen Delav Bar Avodahu, that a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, even if he's not doing the Avodah, well, no problem. Ein Shvus B'mikdash. So therefore, Ula is coming along to teach us, Kamash V'lon, the only reason why you're allowed to take off the Riti in the Beis HaMikdash is because Hitiru Sofa Mishum Trilason, the Bar Avodah in the Lav Bar Avodah Lo. It's only to allow the Kohanim to do the Avodah that we allow them to take off the bandage and put it back on. But a Kohen who's not doing the Avodah, we don't allow him to take the bandage and put it back on. And therefore, it is not a din of Ein Shvus B'mikdash. It's a specific din of, we want to make sure that the Avodah gets done. So, Hitiru Sofa Mishum Tchilason. So that's what Ula is adding on to the Mishnah. In all three cases, he's adding on a Chiddush that we wouldn't have known if we only had the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, what about the extra case that Rochva added on in the name of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, so it said, Poseach Eschavito, so he taught us the additional din that if you open up the barrels on Chol HaMoed, you open up a dough on Chol HaMoed, then he held like the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda that Yigmar, that you're allowed to go finish it off. In other words, you can still sell it as something that is Tahar. An Amoritz can't touch it now, but if an Amoritz touched it during the Yontif, we don't say that it's Tameh. So in this situation, Rochva, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, allowed you to go and continue selling it. It's not considered retroactively Tameh. That's also Nami Tanina. That's a Beferish Mishnah that we have in Chagiga. In the last parak in Chagiga, not so far away. We're going to do that in a couple of months. It's a wonderful time in the Daf Yomi that we're doing a Masechta almost every month, making a Siyum. So we're going to learn the last parak there in Chagiga, where it talks about differences in between Truma and Hekdish, Chumers of this, Chumers of that. So it's going to tell us that Kaposeach es chaviso, if a person opens up a barrel during Chol HaMoed, umaschil bisaso, or he starts a dough in Chol HaMoed, so agav regel, because it's opened up in the regel to sell to both Purushim and Amaratzim, to sell it to people and have people touch it, who are Nizar and Tum and Tara, as well as not, so the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda said, Omer Yigbar, the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda said, even after the Yontif, you can go and still say that it's tar, as opposed to the Chacham Omrim, it retroactively now becomes Tameh, Lo Yigbar, and you can't sell it anymore as a tar product. So, again, the Farish, Rabbi Yehuda already taught us this. What is Rachva, in the name of his Rabbi, Rav Yehuda, coming to add by telling us this din about Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara says, no, again, there's a chiddush over here. Mal d'tema, if it wasn't for Rochva, you know what I would have said? Tumas ama aretz baregel b'tahara shavuya rabbanon. That you would have said that the rabbis made gzeira, that all touching by an ama aretz is viewed as not making it tome during chol hamoy, during the yontif. V'afa gav lo hiskel nami. And therefore, it's a across-the-board decree. So even if you didn't open up the barrel, even if you didn't open up the dough, or you didn't start selling it, even if an Amma Aretz touched it, no Tumah. Across the board, no Tumah. So therefore, Rach was coming to tell us, no, it's only, again, an example of Yitiru Sofim Yitri Lassan, Kamash Balan, that the only reason why Rabbi Yehuda the Tana says that you're allowed to finish selling it afterwards is because you opened it up during the Yontif and started to sell. And therefore, Kamash Balan, Yitiru Sofim Yitri Yitri Lassan, because otherwise you won't open it up. So only Hiskel, if you actually opened it up and started to sell it, then it would be acceptable to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's no longer Tameh, and after the Yontif, it's also not considered Tameh retroactively. But lo Hiskel, if you didn't start to actually sell it, then this din doesn't apply. If Hiskel Sofik Shum Tchilasan, and lo, it in fact would be Tameh if an Amma Aretz had touched it, even according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the Chiddush that Rachva is telling us. No, this is such a good idea. Why didn't Ula tell it to us? Ula, my time alo, Amar Ha. Why didn't Ula give us a fourth case? Ula said only three cases. Now, this case of Rachva seems to fit in exactly in the paradigm that Ula set up. So why didn't Ula mention it? So the Gemara says, Ula didn't want to get involved in Machlokas. And this Mishnah in Chagiga is a Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, and the Chachamim. And therefore, Beplukta the Lokamairi. Ula says, I'm only telling you cases where there's no Machlokas. Where he says, what? Hanach Nami Pluk Sadinu. Every one of the cases that Ula brought was a machlokas based on Beishamai. So why are you saying that there's no machlokas? And the Gemara gives a famous answer. Where it says, no. Beishamai b'mokum beishilel ain't a Mishnah. When you have a machlokas between Beishamai and Beishilel, we so much pass like Beishilel, even though there are cases that we pass like Beishamai. But in general, a machlokas between Beishamai and Beishilel is not called a machlokas. It's as if it's a Stam Mishnah. It's as if it's just the opinion of Beis Hillel. And therefore, that he wasn't concerned about telling us a quote, machlokas, because Beisham and Beis Hillel is not a machlokas. But once you start getting involved with Yehuda versus the Chachamim, he said, I'm not going there. I'm just giving you examples of Hiter, Sofa, Mishum, Tchilasim, where there's, quote, no machlokas. In other words, where it's only Beis Hillel, Beishamai, but not getting involved in Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Now the Gemara says, what we learned in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to go and take the trisim off, and even according to Beis Hillel, we said machzirin es hatrisim. You can even go and bring them back. So the Gemara says masnisin on Mishnah deloki aitana is not in accord with the following Tana, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and he learned the following in the following brisa. The Tanya, on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said modim beishamay Beis Hillel shemesalkin es hatrisim yontiv. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, even Beis Shammai said you'd be allowed to take it off over here for Simchas Yontif, to make sure that people can buy stuff as needed on Yontif. So not only Beis Hillel, but even Beis Shammai says you can take it off. And the only machlokas, according to Rishon Lazar, is lo nechliku between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, el lahasir, to return it once you took it off. Beis Shammai says, nope, sorry, you can't go return it. And if that's going to make the person not open it up, sorry, ein matirin sofa mishum tchilasan. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. And Beis Hillel says, no, omrim af machzirin, because we are concerned that if you don't let him go and put it back, he won't take it out in the first place. Now, b'medvar mamurim, under what circumstances are we talking that Beishamai and Beishilel have a machlokas? Can you take it off, put it back, like Rav Shimon Elazar, or like our Mishnah? So, b'medvar mamurim, B'she'eish lohem tzir. It's if they have what we call a pivot. You know, a door swings around. We have hinges. So they had pivots, similar idea. So where is there a machlokes between B'shamay and B'shilo, B'she'eish lohem tzir, if they have a pivot? So B'shamay says no, B'shilo says yes. Abol ein lohem tzir, this b'raisa says, if there's no pivot, it's just somehow attached. So divrei hakol mutter. Then even Beis Shammai would say that you can go and put it back. No problem to take it off. According to Rav Shimon Lozer, even if it has pivots, you can take it off. But no problem to put it back, even if it, according to Beis Shammai, if it doesn't have pivots. B'sheish lehem tzir is the machlokis, but ein lehem tzir, divrei hakol mutter. That's the first version that we have. But the Gemara says, v'hatanya, there's another b'raisa that disagrees. And this b'raisa says that the machlokis is only b'medvar ma'murim, where do Beis Shammai and Beis Halav machlokis b'she'ein lehem tzir? Only if they don't have a tzir. Even if it doesn't have a tzir, Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to take it off, put it back. Or, according to Rav Shimon Lozer, you're not allowed to put it back. Abo yesh lehem tzir. But this b'raisa says, if it does have a pivot, even Beis Hillel says, divrei hakol osur. So this is a stira. What's going on? You have one b'raisa says, machlokis is only if they don't have a tzir. Then we have a machlokis says only if they do have a tzir. What's going on? So Abai explains it as follows, that there's actually three types of scenarios. You have a tzir at the top and the bottom. That's called minatzad. You have a pivot both at the top and the bottom of the door, or the shutter. Then you have what's called minatzad. You have one pivot. That's an in-between type of a state, where the pivot's only on the side. And then you have a shutter that has no pivots at all. It somehow is attached. It just falls into place. And Abai says that's the difference between these prices. Amar Abai, b'shiyesh lohem tzir min hatzad. When it has the tzir min hatzad, we say that's a top at the bottom. That's the divrei hakol osur. There, Beis Hillel says it's not allowed to be done. Even Beis Hillel's modu Beis Shammai, that's too much like binyan, and you can't do that. If it doesn't have any tzir at all, ein lohem tzir at all, kol ikar. So then, divrei hakol mutter. Then, even Beis Shammai says you can take it off and put it back. Where is the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? Ki plige Beis Hillel Beis Shammai b'sheyesh lohem tzir b'emtza. That's when you have the machlokes. In this situation, ki plige b'sheyesh lohem tzir b'emtza, we turn to Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Mar Savar, the opinion of Beis Shammai is that here we have to make a gzeira, gazrin on tzir b'emtza, otu tzir b'natzad. If we allow you to use a pivot, even though it's only one pivot on the side, then, you know what, in the middle, then people are going to use it on a door or a shutter that has a pivot on the top and on the bottom as well. So if you allow pivots, boom, you're going to run into trouble. So Beis Shammai says, don't allow pivots. And Beis Hillel says, no, nobody's going to make that. They'll say, on the side, no big deal. If it's only on the side, be'emtza, so then, not a big deal. That's not going to lead people to make a mistake, top and bottom. So that concludes or resolves these 3/4 cases that Ula and Rochva brought down. And with that, we conclude today's shiur.